evening. It's good to see everybody, and it's even better to be back up here and teaching. Been quite some time. Brother Mike's had to bail me out a few times. I've had some personal trips, getaways, some things to enjoy, and work has kept me from being here. And, you know, it's been tough. I have a desire to want to be in God's house and want to help others, you know, because we need each other. And I need you and you need me. We need to pray one for another to strengthen each other. But I am tired, physically and mentally. I'm wore out. I'm not going to lie about that. I've told the men in prayer room a couple weekends ago on Saturday that my work has, we're at about 55-60% of employment at my branch, and each one of those employees carries a very vital role to the operation of our, just the daily operations of the branch. So physically, I'm worn out, and mentally as well. Just trying to fill in all the gaps, and you know, try to get people in place and hired, and so it's been tough. But there's one thing: I'm not tired. I'm not spiritually tired. I still have a desire to be here. I still have a want to be in the house of God, to surround myself with others that believe like I do, think like I do. Still have that desire. Not tired. But we need each other. This thing's only going to get worse and worse. And we're faced with so many battles. So many things the devil throws at us, tries to distract us, discourage us, and defeat us. And just a few weeks ago, I thought it was over. It would have been a lot easier. The devil had me convinced just to walk away, just to quit. All these problems, all this stress, all this that's taking place at work, that's spilling over at home, it's causing stress. He said, you can end all that, just walk away. That's not what I want to do. It's not what God has called us to do. It's not what God has prepared us as Christians to do. We're not to throw in the towel. This thing's no cakewalk. It's no bed of roses. It's not easy. And if you think it is, get ready. Get ready. So tonight I don't think I'll be real long in this, but I want to talk about and look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. And I've had this thought that I wanted to dive into this a lot deeper, but this is what I've got, and I hope that it, one, reassures us, gives us that assurance that God is ever present in our storms, in our battles. And I hope that it challenges you, that you look at this and through this, these pieces of armor that Paul's speaking about, that you have each and every one of them. Not just a few of them, not one or two, but the whole armor. Each and every one, because we need it. We've got to have them all, not one or two. So I'm just going to go through these. I'm just going to read the verse and then just give you a little bit of thought on that verse that through reading and just prayer that God has showed me in these verses. And again, I hope that it just gives us that assurance and also challenges us to for you to look at yourself and see that we're there. Because this thing's not just about me. And it's not just about you. But it's about each and every one of us that are here tonight. It's about our families, our kids, these young kids, Carson and Mia Kate, getting saved and, you know, forever having their name written down. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about leading people to Christ. It's about having those lost souls turn from themselves and having the righteousness of God put on them. That's what it's all about. And to build up one another. Help one another. So let's look. Some of you, now don't cheat, but I just wanted to ask. I want to mention these, but before I do, before I get into this, how many could name these six pieces of armor? How many could name them? Well, I've got them written down. But it's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. So those are the pieces we're going to look at. And in addition to those, there's one in verse 18 that I think is, and I've experienced this, it's the power of prayer. It's not part of one of these, but oh, how it is. This prayer, praying for us, ourselves individually, and for one another, strengthens us. It gives us that access to God, that power that's within Him, that's not within ourselves. Very important. And I can testify, and there's families in this church that can testify to the power of prayer. That they've experienced it in their families, or maybe you individually, knowing that the outcome was not good. But the power of prayer, this church, people, praying for us and each other. So let's look, we'll get started. So verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So to me, Paul is encouraging us believers in Christ that in the middle of temptations, trials, the struggles, the things that we're faced with, that the devil sends our way, and all his little, I've named it this, all his little minions that he has in places, he's telling us, encouraging us to stay strong in the Lord. Stay strong in the Lord. We are called to rely on God's strength, and not of our own during these times. See, only then will we have the victory. When we give it to Him, when we trust Him, when we lean on Him and let Him take control, when we rely on God using this armor, we can overcome these battles that we're faced with. Spiritual strength and courage are very necessary for the battles we're faced with. As I said, physically, mentally, I'm pretty exhausted, pretty tired. But this thing, this spiritual strength and this courage, our preacher says it, you better get some glue in your britches. Right? Like I said, it's no cakewalk. If we're going to be in this thing, we're going to have to buckle up. We're going to have to settle down, get in our place, dig in, and fight. Because it's a fight. We must lean on Him and not ourselves. There's no strength within myself not to fight these battles. You think you're big enough? You're badly mistaken. You can't take on the wickedness of this world, the devil, and all his schemes. We don't have it within us. No matter how big you think you are, you don't have it within you. But I know a man. I know the one. Nothing's too big or too small for the God we serve. And I trust Him. And I've been in a battle the last probably 6 months of my life like never before. Many of you have been through several battles. But I've been blessed for what God has allowed me to do and the way He's used me and in my job and to reach others. But I've been in a battle. But through this spiritual strength, through this preparedness that I have and that we all as Christians, we must have in order to get through this. If you don't have it tonight, I'm telling you, you better look at these things and get yourself in that condition so that when these things come, we have a lot better chance. We're on the winning side. We just gotta give it to Him and let Him fight this for us. Get ourselves out of the way. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God's Word is instructing each one of us to put the whole armor of God. To put on the whole armor. As I said in the beginning, not just one or two, but it takes all of it. It takes each and every piece. This, to me, this verse is saying that every one of us will or under spiritual attack from Satan. He's always looking to destroy us. He's always after us and our families. He's after this church. So we must be prepared. We must be ready to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's all of his schemes, all of his wickedness, all of the temptations that he lays out in front of us. So that if we'll give in and fall to that temptation and sin, that he thinks, that, so what it does, it just builds on us. Right? If that's not bothering you, if sin's not bothering you, then you've got a problem. And it's just going to keep coming. It's just going to pile and pile and pile on top of you till one day you don't know where you are. You're not in church. You're out in the world living like them again. And you're in trouble. Your family's in trouble. We must be prepared. We need the whole armor of God to protect us in our everyday walk. Notice it doesn't say just put on the one or two pieces, does it? But it says it, the whole armor. Just like the armor protects the soldier, this armor of God protects all of us who believe in Him. From all our problems, all those trials, all those temptations, He protects us. We've got some things we've got to do ourselves. And I also want to look at this word, stand. It's not saying that we charge forward, but that we stand and hold a firm defense. That we really sink in. We really grit our teeth and get ready for this. That we stand and defend our faith and our belief and what the devil is throwing at us, that we can fight those things off and along with God. We've got to trust Him. We've got to let Him fight those battles. For you sports people, maybe that's not grammatically correct. I want to say you sports guys, but you know they say, Brother Tim, defense wins championships. I don't know so much about it anymore. Just outscore them all, right? But we're to be on the defense. We are to stand our ground and be on the defense while Christ fights on our behalf. Christ always wins. Always wins. And for a child of God, that's a win for us too. That's assurance to me. It's found all throughout this Bible. the assurance where it just again and again lets me know that we as believers are on the winning side. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul is telling us that many times we think it's a person, or it could be a thing, you know, something that he puts in place, a device that the devil uses that brings all these attacks on us, all these different issues that we're faced with. But it reminds us there are spiritual forces who have one key objective. One key objective. And that's to destroy us. That's to get us out of here. That's to get us out of this thing. But we have got to stand firm. So instead of focusing on the person or the device that's used, focus and pray against those spiritual forces that are coming against us, that are attacking us, that are behind that. Pray. My thought on it is this. I'll pray for the situation. Pray for the situation. And focus on that, not so much the what or the who that's being used. The little minion that the devil's using. Because see, out there, it's a lost and dying world. It's a dark place. There's no light there. So they're just doing what they know to do. So we've got to focus not on them, but pray for the situation, the attacks that are coming against them or us. And don't focus on them because they'll just bring you down. They'll just beat you down and they'll just, you know, they'll wear you out. They'll wear you out. We're in a spiritual war, fighting daily against these principalities, these powers, the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. We need to pray and prepare for the battle. We must pray and prepare ourselves for this battle. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, Paul is telling us to take the whole armor, and for us to take that stand, to stand firm. Not just one or two, but the whole thing. This is not offensive, but defensive. The reason is that God will fight this battle for us. He's in everything that we do. He's never leave us nor forsake us. He's right in it, in the midst. He's right in the middle, fighting on our behalf. Something I noticed in this verse, it says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, that's now. Or it could be at any time. Again, being prepared. Being ready. We can't afford not to have or leave this protection God has given us behind. This Bible, it's full of instructions. It's full of encouragement. It's full of correctness from front to back, from cover to cover. We can find any help, any encouragement, anything we need that we're faced with, we can find it in God's Word. He's given us that. He's given us the tools to be able to fight these battles. We just got to get a hold of that. We've got to dig into that. We must prepare ourselves daily and nightly for the war that's to come. Can't leave home without it. If you go out there unprepared, you're in a mess. If you are not, if you don't know and understand this Bible, and you go out there in that world, it'll eat you alive. You have got to know what this Bible says and know and understand it. Not just carry it around on Sunday morning, but pick it up and read it. Study it. Get lost in it. Find that encouragement. Find that strength. All right, where are we at? Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Here we see the first two pieces of this armor. The belt of truth, which refers to our faithfulness to God, or the truth about God. It is the assured conviction that we believe in the truth of God's Word. Just like a soldier has a belt to hold his armor, Christians are to tie the truth of God's Word around their life, never doubting it. Never doubting it. The spiritual war that we face, that we battle each and every day, will it make you doubt it? It has me. But Christ is telling us and reassuring us just to stand firm. Stand on His Word. Trust Him. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. Second, we have the breastplate of righteousness. This refers to the righteousness that we as believers in Christ receive when we put our trust in Him and ask for forgiveness. That blood of the Lamb. That cross. When we give our lives to Him who gave His for us, that's that righteousness that we have. The breastplate is supposed to protect the heart of a soldier. And in the same way, the righteousness of God protects the heart of man. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must have a firm foundation and protection. In reference to this verse, that was crucial for the soldiers in battle. Without the proper protection, the foundation to their feet, they would be rendered useless in battle. Be rendered useless. No matter how strong, if they weren't prepared, they didn't have that foundation that protected them, that started it all. And the same goes for us. We must have that foundation. The gospel of peace prepares us for spiritual battle, not only for ourselves, but so that we can help each other. The gospel anchors our faith, and without it, the foundation is weak and unstable. The gospel provides the footing for everything we do. We must know and study the good news, the gospel, so that we can share it and take it to others and help them. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, just like it protects a soldier from arrows, it protects us from the fiery darts of the devil. When we stand on our faith in Christ, every trial, temptation, device that's used can and will be destroyed. Paul's saying when those fiery darts are being shot at with intention to hurt us and to destroy us, don't be discouraged. Don't be defeated. We are called to stand firm, knowing that Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. Satan takes every opportunity to throw the fiery darts at our hearts and our minds. He uses so many devices, lies, wicked and hateful thoughts, the temptation, and every device that's available. He uses it against us. If we do not by faith stand firm in the name of Jesus and stand confidently on God's word, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet of salvation. The helmet is worn by a soldier to protect his head. In the same way, the helmet of salvation protects our mind against discouragement, against defeat, or wanting to give up or to walk away. I've been there. I've been there. But it gives us hope, not only in knowing that we are saved, that we are victorious. It's going to be a struggle, and it's going to be a battle. But in the end, we're victorious. It's the assurance of God that He will, and by that, us, we will be triumphant when this thing's all over. It's for protecting our minds from all the corrupt ideas or thoughts that we may be faced with that the devil throws at us. The fiery darts will cause us to doubt, but the helmet of salvation protects us from losing that assurance. Thank God that I've made some preparations for this battle that I'm in, that I'm going through, that you are faced with. I'm not alone. I know that. But if we haven't had this preparation, if we haven't taken the stance, where would we be? The devil convinced me it was easier just to walk away. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Word helps us to defeat our enemies during spiritual attacks the same way Jesus did while being tempted by Satan. That's how powerful this Word is. If we know it and we understand it and we use it, then we can, along with Christ, fight the battles and come out victorious. When we are tempted, the most effective weapon that God has given to us is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we know and understand God's Word, it is very effective in defending and defeating the attacks of the devil. And lastly, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As I said, this is not a part or a piece of the armor that Paul was using when speaking, looking at the soldiers, but it's a very important part. It's a duty and it's a privilege as Christians to be able to pray for ourselves and for one another, to have that access to God. Relating this to the armor, I would say that the armor, by reading and just kind of looking, is exposed on the back, open for attack. This is where we as brothers and sisters, we can help each other. We can protect one another. When I'm down and I need some prayers, that's watching my backside, that's what we can do one for another. What a privilege. What a privilege. I may not have experienced what you've experienced. I may be going through something that someone else is going through. But it may be different for me than it is for you. But maybe you can help me and I can help you. And we can help each other You know, preacher talks about he loves everybody, but not everybody want to grill hamburgers with, right? And I want to say this because it's true. I hope that there's not a situation or a case where that particular person, that family, whatever it is, that you may not want to grill hamburgers with, that you would never not be willing to call their name out. Because if that's where you are, then you need to do a self-check. We don't all have to agree with each other. But we can pray and help one another. That's our duty and that's our privilege. That's one reason why we meet on Saturday evenings, Sunday mornings before service. So that we can pray, that we can come together as one and call those names that need our help. We have a focus, a specific focus in prayer for those that are lost and those that are in need physically. But we must pray one for another, covering the exposed side, filling the gap. So tonight, I ask you, where are you? Do you have the whole armor? Just a few pieces. I ask you to check yourself, not just for you, but for your family and for this church and those that need you. We need each other. And I pray that it's also been an assurance to you to know that the God we serve is always with us and is in the middle of everything we do and all these storms. Thank you, Brother Mike.